you. Well, if you're here for the very first time, we have been in a series called The Book of Daniel, and we've had a really good time with this, and I don't claim to at all be an end times preacher, because I'm not, all right, and or an expert on eschatology, because I'm not, but I do think it's important that we, as we've done in this series, just looking at Scripture and what God has to say when culture is growing in a place of ungodliness, what do we do? And so that's really been the question of this whole series. As culture is shifting, and it's shifting, everybody, how do we remain godly in an ungodly age? So go ahead and grab your message notes if you already have it inside your worship guide, or you can follow on the screens behind me. And I think this series is so important because I think it's going to be incredibly important that we know how to live in these times. And it's not going to get a whole lot better, and so we need to just understand and know how to live in some of the most intense times and stand for God. And so we've been really learning from out of the book of Daniel, been taking a lot out of this book to really just be a guide and a tool to us, and a lot of just life application from this book. And really, there's the interesting thing about it, the first six chapters of Daniel are historic, and so we've been spending a lot of time just looking at different life lessons through the book of Daniel and life application. Things that we can see. We've seen different stories from Daniel, even in the lion's den, and his bros, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and they were constantly confronted with culture in their day, and so they had to figure out, how are we going to remain and hold fast, steadfast to our convictions in a time in their day when culture was increasing in wickedness? And so we've been learning a lot from that, and I think it's just been so important as we just apply what we have learned. In the nation of Israel was just in a time, and just to do a quick review, where they were being very disobedient to God and not following after what God had said. And God just was very plain that if you're not going to follow me, I'm going to hand you over to the world. And that's what happened. King Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon came in, destroyed the walls, burned down the city, took the people captive into slavery and into bondage. And in the midst of that time was where Daniel and his friends had to figure out, how are we going to continue to stand for God in an ungodly time? And so I want to look at today, and I'm going to be trying to make this as plain as I can. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit, but I want to actually start in Matthew today, chapter 24, because what's interesting about this, and something I want you to see before we kind of move into this message today, is see how Jesus actually validated every single thing that Daniel saw in the visions that he had seen in his time. And I just want to say, if you have missed any of the messages of this, you can go back, and I actually encourage you, go back into our archive on our website and take a listen to our podcast, or if you've got a smartphone, you can download our app and you can listen to the message from the app as well. But here we are, Matthew chapter 24, in verse 3. Let's start here. It says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? This has really been a question that people have been asking for generations, and asking God, when's the end coming? When is that time, and when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Is it going to happen in our lifetime? And the truth of the matter is, nobody knows. And if you go on in the scripture and read, and I encourage in your own time to read the rest of Matthew chapter 24, and I am going to read a little bit more here in just a minute. But Jesus later on says, I can't even tell you that. He said, because only my Father in heaven knows that time and when that it is. But Jesus said, here is what I can tell you, that there are some signs that you can be looking for, and you can pay attention to those signs to know whether we're getting closer to the end or not. And so Jesus really goes on into Matthew 24, just kind of giving an explanation of all of the different signs that are happening. And it's interesting to me, because throughout generations, every generation kind of thought they were the generation that was in the end, or we're going to see themselves living in the last days, especially really around the World War II era. A lot of people thought that was it. Wars and rumors of wars happening, and then the rise of Hitler. A lot of people thought Hitler was even the Antichrist in that generation. And so it's interesting, as I've been reading this week and studying, that all of the generations saw these signs and saw different signs, but none of the generations had all the same signs happening at the same time. Here's what's incredible to me, that you are the first generation ever to see all of the signs and scriptures actually happening at the same time. You're the first generation to ever see these signs happening all simultaneously, which I think, and I believe that we are the end time generation. That's just my personal belief, and it's my personal belief that we are at the end of the end. And so just my thought, my studies on it, and even studying from some others. I want to pick it up back here in Matthew 24 again. Jesus is given now the signs. Here's the things he said I want you to be looking for to know. If this is really towards the end of everything, he says this, because of the increase of wickedness, and in the last days there will be an increase of wickedness, there will be a moral decay that will happen, and I believe if you look around, you don't have to look too far to see that this increase of wickedness is happening in our time. He said, the love of most will grow cold. Jesus is saying really here that there will be a generation that will be consumed with wickedness. And even to the point that it's unfortunate, but for some that call themselves Christians are now okaying some of this wickedness that is going on. He goes on to say, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Everybody say all nations. What's interesting about that word nations, it's that it's not nations like you and I think. It's not geographical. What that word nations actually means in the Greek is the Greek word ethnos, which means people groups. And it's estimated that there's around 2,000 people groups in the world today. And so when we see nations, it's important that you see that. And it says, and then the end will come. You also are the first generation to ever say that we are living in the generation where every ethnic group has been reached. And here's why. Because of digital technology. Digital technology has now made this available. It's amazing to me that you could put a Bible college on a flash drive now. Lord have mercy. I mean, it's just so much that you can do even just in the palm of your hand that now we're the first generation to say that that is actually taking place. And Jesus goes on to say, so when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, and this is what we say, man, what is that? This is a time during the 7-year tribulation, which we'll see that the Antichrist around the 3.5-year mark will rise up and build a statue of himself in the temple of Jerusalem. And Jesus goes on to say, spoken of through the prophet Daniel. So right there, Jesus is validating the visions and the things that Daniel saw in his time. And I love the last part. It says, let the reader understand. Amen. All right, did you get all that, everybody? All right. And so I don't know about you, but it's taken me some time, all right, to try to bring some understanding to all of this. I just thought it was cool, and I wanted us to see that today, how Jesus was validating really this entire series that we've been talking about out of the book of Daniel. And here's what I do know. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelation can be complicated. I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, complicated. It can be very complicated. So what I'm going to try to do a good job of today is I'm going to try to unpack the rest of this book and summarize in Daniel today for you. And then summarizing, we're actually going to dive into the book of Revelation today, and which I've been excited about. I think there's going to be some really incredibly cool things that you're going to see maybe for the very first time in this. So I'm going to try to make it real easy. I'm going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can reach, all right, if you know what I'm talking about. Just trying to make it easy and simple. So I'm going to try to do a good job of uncomplicating some of this for you, and hopefully I'll do a pretty decent job of that today, has been my prayer. So and here's what I know. Knowledge really is not that important unless your life changes in some way. So even though we're given some knowledge and some understanding of things, like what's important out of this today is that we leave with some life practical things that can help change our life. Amen, everybody? So it's the end. So what's that mean, Pastor? Well, that's why I want to help you today. All right, and I want us to see some things that I really do believe will be beneficial to your life going forward. I do want to say this too, that I will be very kind of teachy today and technical, all right? And this is just the kind of flow. So I want you to give me a few minutes to help bring some application. And through this, if you get lost, I will catch you up. All right, fear not. And if you're a note taker, you're going to love Sunday today. If you like deep, whatever deep is, you're going to really like today. All right, I still don't know what that means, but it sounded good. All right, and so there's a place in Scripture here in Daniel chapter 9 where really Daniel summarizes all of the visions that he saw, and he calls them the 77s. All right, so I want y'all to work with me here this morning. If you're with me, shout yes. All right, just making sure. And let's go. So here we go. Verse 24, it says 77s. And really just what that means, it can mean weeks, it can mean months, it can mean years, but it's really periods of sevens that he saw of the future. And what's interesting about the 77s that Daniel actually saw 490 years of prophecy. Whoa, that's pretty incredible. 490 years worth of just vision and of future events, and most have been fulfilled. But what I love about this section of Scripture is that he breaks them down in different segments. And so he goes, 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. We got to pay real close attention now here. It says, know and understand this from the issuing of the decree. So of these 490 years that are going to be played out, there's going to be restoration. And there's going to be a time of rebuilding Jerusalem. And what's interesting about this even too is Daniel really had no idea and clue that they were going to go back into Jerusalem. You actually find that in the book of Nehemiah in Ezra. And because the Bible isn't in necessary chronological order, Nehemiah and Ezra would actually be the last two books of the Old Testament. Just thought that was kind of interesting. And so he says, until the anointed one, everybody say the anointed one. And I want you to see this because it's important for us to see, and it's in your notes too, the word anointed being capitalized. There's emphasis. It's important for that. Why? Because Daniel saw Jesus in his vision. He saw the Messiah, that there was a Messiah coming. And it goes on to say, the anointed one, the ruler comes, and there will be seven sevens. So he saw a 49-year period, which is what it took to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and then 62 sevens, which is 434 years. And what's interesting about this is that it is exactly to the date when Jesus died on the cross. So Daniel was in a place that he just really saw it all. It was awesome. And he goes on to say, and it will be rebuilt with the streets and a trench, but in times of trouble, after the 62 sevens, so again, after the 434 years, the anointed one, everybody say the anointed one. All right, say it like you mean it now, the anointed one. There we go. All right, got to keep you with me on this message today, all right? Will be cut off. And so what he saw in that moment, which I thought was so cool, is he then saw Jesus being crucified. It goes on to say, and he will have nothing, and the people of the ruler will come and will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And so around 70 AD, they actually came in, and what they rebuilt, they rebuilt, and it got torn down yet again. And it goes on to say, the end will come like a flood. Now, this is what's awesome, and this is what I'm going to spend some time with talking about today, that there's actually a missing seven, that there's 69 of the 70 signs here. And it goes on to say that war will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. And he's talking about, is the Antichrist. In another version, Daniel identified him as a king. But he, the Antichrist, he will confirm a covenant with many for one seven. And so that's the missing seven, which the missing seven is the tribulation. And so the Antichrist will actually, here's basically what that means. He will actually go into Jerusalem and he will sign a peace deal. He will sign a peace treaty, and the Palestinians and the Israelites will at that point just come into agreement. And really all the Israelites want anyways is just to come into a place that they can rebuild the temple. That's all they're focused on. And then it goes on to say, in the middle of the seven, which is the 3.5 years, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. So
the Antichrist is finally going to actually expose who he really is. He's going to look like this guy that's got it all together, and everybody's going to be, you know, rooting after him to where he's going to come in the middle of this tribulation and just kind of say, you know, I'm the Antichrist, you know, and so and really reveal his real master plan, and that's destruction for people. Take the mark or die, you know, kind of philosophy that he will have. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation. Remember, Jesus talked about that. And again, he's going to set up for himself a statue of himself in Jerusalem until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Whew. All right, that was good preaching. I think we'll all go home now, all right? So what in the world does all of that mean, Pastor Kyle? Well, I'm going to try, if I lost you along the way, I'm going to try to catch you up right here, all right? And so if you're a note taker, we're going to have some stuff on the screen here behind me because I want to make sure you understand what this all means. First of all, the 77s is really equals 490 years of prophecy that Daniel saw. So it's important to understand what that 77s is and 490 years. Then there was 483 of the 490 years that have been fulfilled. So 69 of the 70 years, or 77s, excuse me, have happened. And I think what's interesting is when you really study this out, and it's really, really interesting and fascinating to me, is that even Daniel saw ones like Alexander the Great. He saw things like the Roman Empire coming down. And that's all past history, and so I'm not going to get focused on the past history, because really what I want to focus on with you today is things is some of the things that have yet to happen and that we need to be looking for and that haven't been fulfilled. Then there's the 49 years it took to rebuild the temple, which that was the first seven sevens. And the 434 years later, Jesus gave his life. And that was the 62 sevens. And then the last one, just to, again, catching you up this morning, I know I'm kind of moving quick, but is the 7 years of prophecy yet to be fulfilled. And that's a lot of, like I said, what I'm going to talk about. Jesus and Daniel saw this. Even if you look later on in the New Testament, Paul and Peter also saw this, talked about this. And what's incredible about the book of Revelation is because really most of the book is centered around this 7-year tribulation time. Most, I'd say more than half of the book of Revelation. And here's again what I know. it can feel like an overwhelming book if you just get started in that. So so my heart today is, again, trying to take some of what we may have felt like or see complicated and trying to really uncomplicate things for us. And so when looking at the book of Revelation and looking at, man, are we at the end, I think there's an easy way to do this. So how I'm going to summarize this, and I want to show you this today because I just think it's incredible, but I think it's important for us to know where we're at and to see what's happening in the world today, but also seeing more importantly what God says and what we can be expecting. Can you say a good amen? All right, so what I want to do is, there's really the best way to summarize this book is really around 10 events that happen. And so I want to give you these things. Again, this is not in your notes. If you notice, I've got like 3 points for you today, and I'm going to get real simple and practical by the end of my message to help us with this. But I want to show you where really the 7-year period takes place in these 10 events in the book of Revelation. So here's the first one, number one, that is talked about in the book of Revelation, and that is the church age. And that's found in the chapters of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And let me just say this. If you've never read those two chapters, read it, especially if you love like just end times. And I don't know, people have their charts and their graphs and all that stuff, and that's fine if that's what you do, all right? But I think what's important is what's being said in these two chapters, and then live it out. Because we're given basically 7 warnings within these chapters that Jesus, that he's talking to us, the church, we are the church, that we need to be doing. And so I would encourage you to make sure, if you haven't, to take a look at that, because I think it's pretty awesome. And then the next thing that happens, and this is just part of this is just kind of my personal belief, and I really realize there's a lot of different views on this. In Revelation 4:1 is the rapture of the church. That I believe that there will be a taking away of the church. And again, I realize there's a lot of different beliefs on this, and there's some that believe we'll be delivered, you know, and taken at the beginning of before the tribulation, some mid, some post. But I don't know about you, but I just plan on taking the first elevator out of here, baby, all right? That's just where I'm at. And at the end of the day, the results are the same. Heaven, everybody. That's what matters most. Amen? And so what's interesting, though, what I find so interesting about this in Revelation 4:1, that it is the last time the word church is ever mentioned. So all the way up to that chapter and verse, it's church, 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 church. And that literally is the last time the word church is ever mentioned at that point. And I just personally believe it's because we won't be here. That's just my thought on that. And then here's the third event that'll take place, and that is what we've talked about a little bit even in this series. I believe it was the second week of this series, is the rise of the Antichrist. We find this in Revelation chapter 6. Daniel saw this. He actually referred to him as, saw him as a king. Antichrist makes this deal with Israel. He then, at that 3.5-year mark of the 7 years, deceives many. Ends up building a statue of himself, ordering people to take the mark of the beast. And that signing of the peace treaty is a pretty big deal. And if you're around for that signing of the treaty, the rapture didn't happen. You probably missed it. Okay, so fear not. That's why I'm here, to help, all right? And so what's interesting, too, about the whole rebuilding of the temple, that there are plans that are already being made for this. Like, so much so that the furniture is sitting in warehouses. All that is needed is a signature. And that's how close we really are, everybody. It's that, to me, when I was reading up on this, I just thought was really interesting. The fourth event out of Revelation that we see is the Great Tribulation that is found in Revelation 6 through 19. This is the last seven of the sevens. So this is the one that we've been talking about this morning, the missing seven. And the whole book, almost the whole book of Revelation, you'll see all the different chapters, 6 through 19, is centered around this time of the tribulation. Just think again how interesting it is. And the only thing right now that's holding God back from sending his son Jesus is his love for you and me. Yeah, the Bible says in 2 Peter that he's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you and I, so that none would perish. So I like to kind of use my imagination, just kind of what's maybe taking place in heaven, because I could see Jesus like wanting to come back and get his church, man, wanting to get his bride. He's the groom, we're the bride. And I can just see those moments, because the Bible says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's sitting there at the right hand of the Father, and the horse is ready. Come on, Father. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go get my kids and get my bride and bring them with me. And I could see probably moments that God's like, okay, well, go ahead and get them. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's getting ready to saddle up, and he's telling Jesus, hey, hold on. There's still a few more people I see that need reached. The heart of God, and the reason why he has not come back, is because he still sees people that needs reached, that none should perish. I don't know about you, but what an amazing love of the Father. Amen, everybody? Amen, everybody? I think it's awesome. And so there we are in that place, and which is, it brings me, I went ahead, got ahead of myself a little bit into the fifth event, which is the second coming of Christ in Revelation 19. And it's just what an amazing time, what an amazing day that'll be. The sixth thing that will happen at the event is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is a time where the Antichrist, Satan, is sent to the bottomless pit, and this will be a party. Like, this is a party with our Savior. Like, man, it's going to, I'm just imagining again, because I got the gift of eating, everybody. We're going to have good food. It's going to be awesome. We're going to party. Like, our Savior loves to party. I love that. And so we're going to have an incredible time with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb, just partying and celebrating our Savior and who he is. And the seventh event that takes place is the millennium. And this is a 1,000-year reign of Christ, not in heaven, but on earth. Yeah, And I've heard people say, man, earth's not so bad. Like I'm all about going to heaven one day, but I'm kind of enjoying some things on earth. Well, fear not. All right, we're going to have a time of a millennial reign with Jesus, and where we'll be on planet earth with him as the king of the earth. How awesome is that? Man, I can't wait for that day. And so it'll be a time that Satan won't exist anymore. There'll be no more sin. Amen, everybody. Come on, no traffic on 469 anymore. Amen. Talk to me. Come on, a place where the Krispy Kreme light's always on. Amen. Now I know I'm talking to some people right now. Yeah. And so that's the kind of millennial reign that it's going to be. It's going to be awesome. You're going to love it. 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 So it's going to be incredible. And then here's the eighth event that I'm just going to be honest with you that I don't know a whole lot about this. So I'm just going to report this to you. And that is the last rebellion that'll take place where Satan will be released for one more time to test the earth. Now, what's interesting about this, and the only thing really I can speak to this, is what scholars and theologians have studied, and what they show is that they believe part of the purpose of this, that there will be a testing for those that will be born during the millennium to then make their choice whether to accept or to reject Christ. So just reporting that to you. And then the ninth event that takes place is the Great White Throne Judgment, which for the Christian, you're not going to be a part of. It will be for the dead and those living who have rejected Christ, that they essentially will have their day in court. And so that'll be a time of the Great White Throne where they will be judged before the Lord. And then here's the 10th and final event, and that's eternity. And I love this part of the scriptures in these two chapters because it just talks about living forever with the Lord. That there will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth, and the earth will be likened unto the days of the Garden of Eden before sin ever took place. Scripture talks about the lion and the lamb will again lay next to each other. And there will be peace. There will be enjoyment. Man, doesn't that sound incredible, everybody? Talk to me, somebody. Amen. I'll preach to myself up here. It sounds so good. Ethnic groups. There'll still be the ethnic groups. And there's kind of sometimes been a misconception like we won't know each other. We'll know each other. I mean, I wish I had time to teach on that. I've got one service in like 35 minutes to teach all this. So you have to give me some grace. But it's powerful. So how do I live with this, Kyle? And how in the world does this help me in my life? What do I do with this? I think what's interesting here, and I want to go back into the last chapter of Daniel, because Daniel was in a pretty honest time where he was saying, man, I understand some of this, but God, I really don't understand all of it. So Lord, I need you to kind of help me and show me what's next. And so I want to just show you some things and how I believe we can practically apply some of this to our life. In verse 1, it says, at that time, Michael, which Michael is one of the archangels in heaven, he's in charge of war and with prayer. And the great prince who protects your people will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. All right, this is talking about the last 7 years of the tribulation period. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered, which again is why I think we're going to be up and out of here, that delivered part. But what's cool, the book that he's talking about that is so awesome is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And that when you and I get saved and we step into a personal relationship with the Lord, Scripture records that our name is written in that book. And so before we enter into heaven, that book will be open to find your name in there. I just think it's pretty awesome. Multitudes who sleep in the dust, meaning the dead who have rejected Christ, they're going to awake. They'll go to the great white throne judgment. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. But notice this next part of this verse, and if you're following along, I just encourage you to underline it if you're with me on this. And it just says, those who are wise, those who are wise, those who are wise. Listen, knowledge is understanding things, but wisdom is applying it. So, like, you can have a lot of knowledge, but that don't mean nothing if you ain't applying anything and using the wisdom. So God is saying, hey, I want you to be wise. I'm looking for a generation that'll be wise with my word and wise and living things out of what I'm telling you to do. I'm looking for a people that's going to be wise and who will shine like the brightness of the heavens And those who lead, look at that, those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever, which is why we exist as a church, is that we are a church that exists for the unchurched. We're a church that exists for the restless, the spiritually restless of our city, those that have been beaten, battered, bruised, whatever they've gone through in their life. But we're a church that exists for the ones that are not here yet, everybody. That's why this scripture speaks to really even who we are as a church and understanding that this is not about us. This is about bringing more people along for the ride and seeing them step into an authentic relationship with Jesus, because a relationship with Jesus is the only thing that's going to change our lives and the only thing that's going to impact our families, our schools, our businesses, the people in our life is Jesus, everybody. Can you say amen? And so it's our responsibility to reach as many people that we possibly can. And I'm telling you, in this church, we will do everything short of sin to reach as many people as we can for the glory of God. We're going to do it, and that's who we are, and that's where we're going to continue to go. And it says, but you, Daniel, close up, seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Notice there's two last signs that we're actually given that's important for our generation, that there will be increased travel and increase in knowledge. And I was looking this up today because these signs are incredibly unique to our generation and where we're at more than any other time. Because I could leave Fort Wayne today, take an airplane, and be in China in 15 hours. I mean, think about the increase of travel that's happened. There's a couple stats from even scientists as it relates to knowledge. They said this, that knowledge has doubled within the last 30, 50 years. Okay, if that didn't wow you, this will. They said today, knowledge is now doubling every 18 to 24 months. We are living in the end time generation. There's no doubt about it. Verse 8, there in chapter 12. Begins this way. It says, I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. Come on, how many husbands have that conversation with your wife? Maybe I heard you, but I didn't know what you meant. Moving on. So I asked, how will this finally end, my Lord? But he said, go now, Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified. Oh, I love this. And he will be cleansed and refined by these trials. Listen to this. There's an incredible. More people read this week. And hold your applause just for a second, because this is worth giving God a hand for. More people have come to Jesus from 2013 to 2016 than from Christ to 2003. Listen, we are in the harvest generation. We're seeing it. It's alive. God is moving. I think we need to give Jesus a hand. That's incredible. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. It's amazing. Man. Harvest generation. We're seeing it. It's incredible. It goes on to say, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. They're not going to have understanding because they're not in a relationship with the Lord. And it goes on to say, the next line, only those who are wise will know what it means. Only those who are wise will know what it means. From the time the daily sacrifice is stopped and the sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshipped, there will be 1,290 days. That's exactly, by the way, 3.5 years. And blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way until the end. Look at this. You will rest. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. Here's what I want to say to us. I love how this ends, that verse ends, that we will rest. Listen, prophecy is not meant to jolt you, scare you, intimidate you. Can I tell you what the purpose of prophecy is? It's to remind us that you and I are on the winning team. We're on the winning team, so that shouldn't make you nervous at all, but to be a healthy reminder that we serve an amazing God that knows exactly what he's doing, and we've got to rest in that. And so here's what I know. Regardless of your end time view, and if you do the charts, the graphs, and you think it's a later time than I do, that's cool. That's all fine. But I do believe there's wisdom that we need in three things that I think we all can agree on this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. It's going to come when you were not expecting. If you knew when a thief was coming into your house, how many know you wouldn't leave your house? All right? So it says, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth, there's judgment on the earth, that's what this is showing, and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people, how should we live? How should we live our lives? I love this. It says, you ought to live holy and godly lives. God is saying, I want you to set the culture, not reflect the culture. I want you to set it, church. I want you to set. And that word holy means to be separate. It means to be in a place that we understand that we're not going to be like everybody else, that we're going to be in a place that we're going to stay committed and obedient to God's word. That word holy, it could also mean just to be set apart. And so you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Here's the kind of the cool thing about it all is that you and I actually have a role in the return of Christ, because it's why we, the church, must stay on mission and reaching as many people as we can for his glory. Amen, everybody? So here's, if you're following along in your notes, you're probably ready to write something down, aren't you? All right, jot this first one down, because here's the practical things of how we can take what we've learned even right here this morning and apply this to our life and make it real personal. First of all, is number one, you got to follow God, not culture. If there's anything that we've learned in this series as we close this series up today, it's understanding that we have a culture that is shifting. We have a culture that is changing. And what we have learned in this series and through Scripture, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Culture changes, Jesus doesn't. And so it's staying focused on what God's Word says, regardless of what the rest of the world does, to hold fast unswervingly, Scripture says, to your convictions. And let's do that. Let's be a people that follow God and not culture. Can I hear a real good amen in the house? 1 Thessalonians say, may your whole spirit, chapter 5, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two is be ready. I almost changed my notes this week, but I didn't want to mess our team up and put live ready, because I like that better. Live ready. Be ready, though, for Christ's return, but live ready, too. Live in a place that you're ready. You say, man, what do you mean? I'm just telling you, let's give God our everything. Let's be more focused on what God wants than what we want. Let's totally submit everything in our lives to his will and accomplishing what he wants versus what we want. And I love this. Jesus, we're back here in chapter 24, which is where we begun in the message today. He said, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So we need to be ready. That's why we have to tell as many people about Jesus that we can. That's why we don't exist for us. We exist for the world. The local church is the hope of the world, but the local church can only be the hope of the world if we exist for it, if we have a vision for it. You understand what I'm saying, everybody? Am I making sense? Because we've got to keep our focus and our commitment strong with God, but strong in reaching people. If not, why else are we doing church? Come on, amen, everybody, talk to me in here. You understand what I'm saying today? And so we've got to stay focused on the mission. Be a church on mission, always. And here's the third thing, lastly, and we're going to pray, is we got to make the most of this life. Make the most of whatever time that you have left. My pastor used to say something, and I think it's good preaching. We're living in the last days. I believe that. But regardless, you're living in your last days. Yeah, because none of us know when our time is going to be up. We've got to make the most of every opportunity. We've got to make the most of the time of whatever we have left. And the cool thing about where we're living right now, church, is we are living in the greatest generation ever. We really are. We're in a blessed nation. But we've got to realize more and more this life is not about this life. James said, this life it's just but a mist, it's a vapor, it's here and then it's gone. And so this life is about making the most and reaching as many people that we can for Jesus. Last scripture here in Ephesians 5, it says, then be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. My hope is through this series, more than anything else, it's the first series we've ever taught really on in time like this, but I just felt in my spirit, just as your pastor, like it was time to teach this. And we've got to know how to live in some of these intense times. But can I tell you, more than anything in the world, can I tell you, if you don't remember anything from this series, I pray you remember what I'm getting ready to say next. Regardless of everything else going on around, keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. Let your attention and your devotion and everything that you are be focused and driven on His purpose. I'm telling you, this world's going to pass away. Eternity is real. Heaven and hell are realities. And I'm telling you, as long as they're realities, we, the church, have a job to do, and that's reaching as many people as we can for the glory of God. Some of us have family members. Some of us have coworkers and friends that need a relationship with Jesus. I'm just telling you, it's time to be focused and praying for them and inviting them in. I'm telling you, you invite them here, it's our job to help see them get saved. All right, we'll try to do the hard part for you. All right, but I'm telling you, God is working, and we are in the harvest generation. And we're going to continue to see God do some amazing things. And I'm telling you, there is more in you than what you think. God's hand is on your life. And you can expect great and mighty and awesome things. Amen, everybody? Amen. Let's bow our heads. I want to pray for us. Father, I thank you so much for the last 5 weeks in this series. Lord, I truly believe that through this series, God, that you have helped to equip us. You've helped us to also recognize, Lord, the days that we are living in. They're intense times. There's a lot of wickedness, and it's growing, Lord. But Father, even though our world may be shifting and slipping away, that we, the church, your people, are going to stay more focused on you. I pray over us right now that our eyes would be straightforward, looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, the anointed one. And so, Father, I just pray right now that, Lord, that you would wrap your arms around us, your people, today. God, that we would feel the power of your love, that we realize we're on the winning team. We win. You're the unstoppable God and doing great and mighty things. And we are part of the greatest generation on earth, part of the harvest generation. And I just even speak over loved ones and family members and friends and coworkers and neighbors, God, who you have strategically placed us in their path, not by accident, but for purpose. God, that you would raise up a boldness even in this hour in our life. God, to be proclaimers of your name. And God, to love people just like you do. And so, Lord, I speak that over us today in the mighty name of Jesus. If you would just keep your heads bowed for a moment, just close your eyes right where you're at, just for this moment, if you would. If you're here today and you don't have Christ in your life, man, what a great opportunity right here on this Memorial Day weekend to make a memory with you and the Lord. Maybe you're in a place that, man, all this is new for you. Man, Kyle, I'm hearing this stuff for the first time, and I'm just telling you, more than anything else, what you need to know today is how much Jesus loves you, how much he's for you today. And if you're in this place and maybe you had a relationship with the Lord at one point, but you're not pursuing him like you need to be, I want to give you an opportunity as well in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. We're not going to ask anybody to stand up or come down to the front. We're not going to embarrass anybody, but we're going to pray together. And you lifting your hand, say, man, Kyle, I want to pray that prayer with you. Come on, I want you to be real honest in this place with God. Forget about the person on your right and your left. Come on, this is personal between you and him. On the count of three, if that's you, I want you to shoot your hands straight up in the air. 1, 2, 3, all over this place. Awesome, already, hands going up. Thank you, awesome, thank you. Come on, awesome, over here, proud of you, man. That's awesome, proud of you, bud, awesome. Come on, some for the very first time, awesome. That's what it's about, that's what it's about, everybody. Come on, we're going to pray with all these that have raised their hands. I just want you to say something like this. And church, just join with me in this prayer. Just say this: Jesus, thank you for your amazing love. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. My life belongs to Jesus. And Jesus, I thank you for paying the price for me. Thank you for loving me the way that you do. And thank you for the hope that I leave with today. In Jesus' name.